It's a title on the January 14th, 2013 Time magazine. 40 years ago, abortion rights activists won an epic victory with Roe v. Wade. They've been losing ever since. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, January the 9th, in the year of our Lord, 2013. And we're going to be talking about, is the abortion movement losing? What struck me with the title, as I saw it here on Time magazine, is I doubt very much whether back in 1938 they would have said, Hitler right activists win an epic victory over the Jews on Kristallnacht. Kristallnacht. That was the night when many Jewish stores were broken into, and for many, it appeared the beginning of Jewish persecution, resulting in millions of deaths. Now, if Time magazine had written about it in the same way they wrote about the abortion, then by 1945, they could have been saying, and the Nazis have been losing ever since. It's just really amazing that a magazine like Time would think it was an epic victory to put Jewish babies to death before they're born. And then bemoan the fact that those who are abortion right activists have been losing ever since. We're going to be talking about that, and if you'd like to enter into the conversation, don't hesitate to do so at 505-7850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. I first of all need to set a couple of ground rules here that people may be saying, wait a minute, KFUO is a religious station. What are you doing talking about abortion? That's a political issue. Oh, yes, that's what the devil would like you to think. Have you ever thought that murder is not a religious issue but a political issue? How about stealing? Maybe that's a political issue also. We're living in a day and an age when the world seems to be falling apart in regard to morality. And it ought not be surprising, what with the surge in evolutionary thinking in high schools and colleges. Because if you are an evolutionist, there is no reason that you have to be moral about anything. It's survival of the fittest. Well, what kind of moral code have lions and tigers and leopards have? No, it's survival of the fittest. But human beings, for some reason, think that they have to live in a community where there is as much peace as possible and very little violence. But there's nothing to back that up from an evolutionary point of view. So that when we're thinking from an evolutionary point of view, why not kill babies? It's survival of the fittest. And in this article, it's such a shame to hear some of the women going to the abortion clinic. They say they're not getting any support from their husband who got them pregnant, or their boyfriend, or from their parents, and they hope that God will forgive them. That they need to know that forgiveness is not something that comes simply because you request it. I mean, how many of us have ever talked to somebody who says, well, tomorrow I'm going to go rob a bank, but I'm not worried about it because God will forgive me? Uh-uh. No, there's a sin against the Holy Spirit. And somebody who has that kind of an attitude that they can go ahead and do a sin because God's going to forgive them, they do not have proper faith. And they really need to be concerned that they're not going to go to heaven for such an action. Well, what does it mean here? Well, what are they all so worried about, the abortion right activists, to give the idea that they've been losing ever since? The article is, in that regard, somewhat well written, because it appears that the point where things began to really go bad is in 1992. I frankly was unaware of the importance of that date until I read this article. But listen to this statement, and if there's anybody who would, you know, not agree with that, I'd be glad to hear from them. But the modern era of state restrictions on abortion began in 1992 with the Supreme Court's decision in Planned Parenthood versus Casey. The court upheld Roe v. Wade, but said states have a right to regulate abortion as long as they don't write laws that impose an undue burden on women. Wow. That was a most important Supreme Court ruling, because it allowed states to do something and be legal about it. And you know what states are doing if abortion is really going down? They're helping women who are pregnant to realize that the lies they have heard about the fetus are untrue. This is a human being. I just can't imagine how in a country where you can go to jail for destroying eagles' eggs, the eggs. The eggs can't fly, they can't walk. Why would you go to jail? And yet, we're talking about a developing human being who is far along than just an egg. The President of the United States himself thought it no problem that as long as just the head was out of the womb and not the rest of the body, that you could puncture the head to death. That's the President of the United States. No wonder children are in danger today. Children are in danger because they're really not thought to be worth much of anything. And the same is true also of the elderly who are really incapacitated. Because you see, your worth is decided in this kind of atmosphere by how well you can function, how well you can contribute to the community. And if you're just stuck in a bed, unable to move, well, you can't contribute much, so why don't we just give you a peaceful release from this world by actually injecting you with poison so you can die? Well, we'll get into how the states have really been able to use this 1992 Supreme Court ruling to really help us. But as I indicated, this is an open mic program. If you like to phone in at 505-7850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727, don't hesitate to do so. Let's begin with Larry. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
Fine.
Good. Have you been hearing from the media how the amount of abortions has declined in the last several years?
Well, this one article actually has the figures here that in certain areas they've really gone down by almost half.
Okay. Well, Planned Parenthood just released its 2012 murder rate in the abortion clinics.
Uh-huh.
It was 333,694 murders were performed in abortion clinics throughout the United States in the year 2012. That, they say themselves, is the most abortions ever done in one year. So if you took all of those murders for 1 year and you stacked them up against the murders committed by guns, the number would be staggering, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. There's no comparison whatsoever.
So Planned Parenthood has released these numbers themselves. So the media is trying to persuade the people once again that the abortion rate has declined, and it's not the truth. And actually, in the report I heard, $500 million of our money, people against abortion, is used as public funding for abortion clinics. So once again, the church and our beliefs are under attack like no time in our history, Pastor.
Well, in our history, correct. But remember, the church was under attack by Herod. He did the massacre of the innocents. And we've got a bunch of Herods up there as politicians today doing the very same thing.
I actually heard a number that when Herod was seeking out Jesus, it was probably, the number was maybe 100 or less children.
Yeah. In fact, a lot less than 100. I've heard from about 15 to 25. Yeah.
Right. But 333,694. That's a tragedy. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just very pathetic.
Well, it has a lot of implications in a lot of areas. I know Mother Teresa was once asked by, present Secretary of State Clinton, how come a woman's never been elected as president? And Mother Teresa said, well, you probably aborted her.
You know, and it brings to, I just remembered something. I watched a movie a couple weeks ago called Blackboard Jungle. It was put out in 1955. And there was a couple interesting lines in this movie. Glenn Ford was a teacher in an unruly public school in New York City, in an unruly high school. And two lines stuck out in that movie. Once there was, they were giving this teacher a lot of problems,
uh-huh.
And they called in the police. And one of the policemen said to Glenn Ford, I think these children are unchurched. And another time, Sidney Poitier, who was part of this gang in this classroom, was playing the piano, and Glenn Ford went to him and asked him if his voice and his piano playing was so well done. He asked him if he would head up a song to sing at the Christmas play in the
yes.
public school. I'm like, these are things 1950. These are things you would never hear the media be allowed to say in that venue today.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. I appreciate the call, and anybody else who has some comments on this question, I appreciate it, Larry. I want to move on, though, to read where I got the lower figure from. They're complaining about the smaller number of doctors who are now willing to perform abortions, and I can imagine why. I mean, how do you like to be a doctor doing abortions and you have your own children? I mean, how are you going to explain that? But anyway, the smaller number of doctors has likely contributed to a fairly steady drop in the overall abortion rate from about 30 per 1,000 women ages 15 to 44 in 1981 to 20 per 1,000 in 2008. Widespread access to birth control, changing attitudes about family and fetuses, and state regulations are also cited as reasons. Now, therefore, that's their evidence that the rate is actually going down. I'll have to look what Larry had to say about the number. I'm just wondering if that 333,000 is just from that one organization or all abortions. And would that be in the United States or throughout the world? We'll have to kind of take a look at that right now. But the point I want to make from a law gospel, we Christians need to use the law, that is, the government, the temporal realm, in order to save these children. And one of the most wonderful things, in my opinion, that states are doing are they are insisting on women having an ultrasound prior to the abortion. Now, I know that one of my good friends is, and he's a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastor, is very much involved in trying to get ultrasounds for birth clinics. And he tells me that when a woman sees the results of the ultrasound and sees that this is a live human being moving around who has pain after a certain age in the womb, that 95% of the women refuse to have an abortion. and of their partners who were insisting on the woman having an abortion due to embarrassment or lack of funds, what was interesting, 90% of them now do not want her to have an abortion. Now, what states have insisted on an ultrasound? Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Maine, Utah, and Virginia. That's pretty impressive, in my view. Also, laws have been made in the states that the woman needs to know that the fetus has the ability to feel pain. And those laws are in Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Louisiana, Minnesota, Missouri, that's our state, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Texas, and Utah. What's more important to me is the necessity of parental notification. I'll tell you this. If my daughter ever had an abortion and I never found out about it and something happened to her, boy, I don't see how you can control your temper. Parental notification or consent is necessary in every state except, and here we go, California, Connecticut, D.C., Hawaii, Maine, Montana, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, and Vermont. That's really good. A waiting period is also something else that is required by about half the states. You know, it's kind of interesting that therefore we can use the law as Christians in order to help save those who are undergoing the genocide and, of course, the extermination that's occurring in this field today. It was just really interesting, the article, Time Magazine, I'm saying, January the 14th, and it shows once more how many women, even after they've had an abortion, feel really guilty about it. And that's, again, where the church has a real opportunity. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Lucille. Hello, Lucille.
Yes. I'd like to comment on abortion. In this area where I live, there's a lot being done about abortion. But my inclination is they give the blame more to the woman than they do to the men. And recently in my local paper, there's an article that someone not too far from where I live has consented or has given a confession, and he says, "My heart breaks as 20 more children are gunned down," and he goes on about Roe versus Wade, and he admits, this is very, very unusual, writes an article in my local paper. He says, "Yes, I'm a double murderer, my aborted child and my Lord, but I have been eternally forgiven through faith in my Savior Jesus Christ, who willingly went to the cross to die for all the sins of the world, including my sins of murder. It says he's been raised from the dead to offer and give forgiveness, and he gives forgiveness to all who repent and believe in him. This Christmas season, please know that Jesus Christ was born to die for you too. No matter what sins you have committed or are committing now, he paid for every last one of them. receive him today. God is indescribable, his gift. Now, this man admits that he has done this, and this is very, very unusual.
Yes, it really is, and I appreciate that's a wonderful Christmas message to give to those who unwittingly went into abortion and now realize what they had done, and they're seeking help. So I appreciate you calling, Lucille.
And one other thing.
Yes.
If I may.
Yes, you may.
I live in an area where there's a lot of hills about 20, 30 miles from here.
Uh-huh.
And a friend of mine, about 20 years ago, we drove down to this area, and this friend says that they have big 16-wheelers come out of Chicago with nothing but abortion fetuses in and dump them out in this hilly area down. It's west central Illinois.
Well, I would say that I would phone the authorities about that because that would be absolutely illegal to do so, and it would be very interesting if that got in the paper. But thank you very much for calling. Let's go on now and speak to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi. You know, it's very interesting, I think, with this Newtown thing and with the abortion issue. The state has an absolutely terrible record of understanding the concept of the soul. It seems whenever they try to do that, they always try to find some other explanation and avoid the fact that human beings have souls.
Okay, give me an example. I'm a little confused. How you came to that conclusion?
Because when they talk about quality of life, they talk about it purely in a mechanical way, like you're talking about a physical way.
Okay.
And they don't recognize any other reality other than the physical.
Yeah, they don't want to mix church and state. I'm sure they're going to tell you something like that. But your point is well taken, is that these are souls of God. These are potential children of God. And there's no assurance I can give to a woman who's had an abortion that her child is going to go to heaven. There's no assurance at all from the Bible. The child may not. Well, we do know that baptism is necessary in order to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptizer is an example of that, who in the womb was coming to faith, jumping for joy. But what you're doing when you're having an abortion is you're losing the confidence and consolation of eternal life for that child, and it really is something that's going to haunt you the rest of your life.
Yeah, I know. It's just this concept of good and evil is something the law is trying to avoid these days. They're trying to create different words and terms to explain it that are psychological, and they said, you know, just physical and mechanical, and they can't get away from it because it keeps coming up. The abortion debate and these school shootings and things, there's another aspect than just the purely physical that's motivating
these things. And the vast majority of these people don't believe in original sin.
Right.
I don't know if you heard us yesterday about the Mormons, who have now acknowledged that homosexuality is neither a choice nor a sin. Yeah, I know. In other words, if you're born with same-sex attraction, they say that's not a sin. Acting on it still is, because sex should only be between a husband and a wife. But that's kind of interesting that the inclination suddenly is no longer a sin, when the Bible is very clear that our sins are not only of deed and word, but also of thought.
That destroys people's faith when you keep redefining something that's been written down, you know, by God in the Scriptures, and twisting it around to make people like you. It's a hopeless pursuit. It's not going to work for the Mormons. It's not going to work for anybody else who tries to do it.
Well, how bad do I feel for those homosexuals who are in churches where the church is telling them that their lifestyle is okay, when it's very clear that those who are unrepentant of that lifestyle are going straight to hell? What kind of church is that who would say something like that? There's just no love for homosexuals there in that church.
They're committing, the same danger that the people who are committing the acts are.
Exactly. And only God's going to make the final decision as to whether somebody goes to heaven or hell. But to give the impression that You know, that's like saying to a Nazi soldier, no, as long as the government tells you to kill the Jews, that's fine to do that. You'll still go to heaven. And right. I think the a couple of trials in Nuremberg and others show that to be quite false. I sure right. appreciate your call, Brian. Right. Okay, well, unfortunately, we're at the end of our time now, so you'll have to probably wait till Friday to phone in if you're all interested in phoning, because tomorrow we're going to have ruminations where you have the chance to eavesdrop on two pastors, and the pastor with me tomorrow is going to be the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. He's been with us the last few weeks. And what we're going to be talking about is something I brought up, how strange it was that I know no churches who on the top of their steeple have a star, even though it was the star that led the wise men to find Jesus at Bethlehem. We're going to talk about that a bit, plus take any of your calls and also emails to lawgospel@lawgospel.com. That's on tomorrow's Law and Gospel. I'm Tom Baker. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.